minutes?
Yeah, it was amazing you remembered all that stuff and that Scott was able to confirm it.
Yeah. Okay, I got to phone someone, but I'll call you back as soon as I can. You're going to be in?
Yeah, I don't know that I will be.
How long are you going to be there?
Not too long. I'm kind of crapping out. I've been up all day, and I'm just kind of tired, and I'm getting ready.
Oh, you're going to sleep?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see. What time is it? So it's 8 o'clock.
10:30 my time.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of that person I have to phone. They would be 11. Okay, yeah, well, let's talk now then.
Okay.
Okay, so what did you want to talk about the ion thing, right?
Yeah, I was, he asked if you were going to jot down the seven levels. Did you do that?
We didn't, no, we did not, you mean follow up and do...
Yeah, he said, he covered the seven levels. He says, now they're fresh in your mind, go ahead and jot those down, and then we can go into them in depth.
I don't think I did that.
Oh, okay.
I don't recall. This often he tells me to do stuff, and I don't do...
I started writing them down, and now I don't know what I did with my notepad. That's
okay,
weird.
Okay, so what part of the... This is the third session. What part is that in? Near the end, or...?
Yeah, well, let's see. The first level is... recently deceased. That's where you haven't.
Oh, you mean the seven phases?
Yeah,
the seven levels of heaven. Oh, yeah, the seven phases. In my remembering, you actually start to die before you physically leave.
By half.
Yeah, you get numb. Your body is getting numb.
Yeah,
that's phase one.
Then you find yourself floating. That's phase two.
Two. Then you make a decision to go back or to leave completely. That's level three.
Right. And then if you make the decision to go ahead, level four is the transition.
Yeah, three. Yeah, the decision is level three, and then where you get from making the decision. Okay. You're numb, then you die, but then you haven't decided. You could go back. That's two. Three is where you make the decision, but you're saying, and I think I remember, it kind of gets blurry, like three is the making the decision, then four is what happens because of the division. But I would, right. Of the decision, but you would, that's still basically three for me. You decide, and then you float into eternity, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's three, so you four, I don't know.
You decide to transition, and that's three, and then four is the actual transition.
Yeah. Or the condition you arrive at. When you've made the decision.
Right.
You're now floating in eternity. And you've heard all the shows, and it's eternity. You are not at the guff yet.
And no, the guff isn't until step seven, so there's actually several steps.
Okay, so, and I remember not, I think now I'm remembering, I didn't write it down because I thought he blurred it, and I think I said, oh, well, let's go and we'll do this another session and get it precise, but... three and four is odd. You make the decision. Is that stage three? And then you go into the eternity, and that's four? No, when you make the decision, you then have become it. But maybe he was saying there is a transition. So, okay, four is when you get there, right?
No. Recently deceased is half, and then you find yourself floating, and then you make the and then you're at the decision point. Am I going to go back into the body, or am I going to transition? So that's three is the decision to transition. Four is the process of you're in the guff, and you're in eternity, but you haven't arrived at the guff yet.
No, that's right. No, I agree. You're in the eternity, and because it's eternal, you can't determine when you get to the guff. You can't measure it.
But see, I have this idea that...
Okay, let's go to stage five. You have to notice this. It's the judgment you do on yourself.
The judgment, yeah.
That's four, five, or six or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then you do the judgment, and then you work towards the guff.
Well, yeah, if you don't judge, if you're not judging yourself in such a way as to retard your progression... Then you continue on to the guff. You ascend or he had a word for it. It wasn't ascend or transcend. It was something like in between. And
he says ascend. He often says ascension.
Yeah, but he called it transcension.
Okay, right, right. So do you see the basic, I don't know if it's seven, but I say you're dying,
mm-hmm.
and your body's getting numb. Then you leave the body. That's two, but you're not dead. Then three, you decide to not go back, and you enter into eternity. And then you judge yourself, step four, and then you may go to the gut, five. So I don't get seven out of it, but maybe he's counting the transitionals and adding them in there. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. But see, because, initially he said you die and you go to the guff. I thought, well, that's great. But now he's starting to say, no, you die and then you go through this thing where you judge yourself. And if you do, you know, depending on how you judge yourself, you either get to the guff or you don't. And, you know, it seems to me like you can still get hung up in sort of a nightmarish kind of thing. If you're judging yourself, you're stuck in this eternal bardo in which your only option is, he says you can't reincarnate. See, that was you may be stuck there till the end of creation.
He said it in other readings to me, there's people, somebody said who died in 1617 and
yeah,
not in the guff yet.
Right, because they're still in that, hung up in that place where they judge themselves. Or like the extreme case of the guy, I think his name was Longinus, the guy who speared Christ and...
That was the guy. Yeah,
Longinus.
I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah. That he's still alive and he's in the monastery in Tibet.
Yeah, because he can't confront
what...
He's
waiting for the second coming. He's not... He didn't die.
Yeah, but he can't even confront who he was or what he did. He's in a perpetual state of amnesia. He can't remember what he did because it's too horrific for his...
That's what I love about Ion. He's creating weirder realities. Like the judgment thing, when I heard that, I said, well, that sounds like the Tibetan bardos. You know, you go through and you work your way through the bardos. And you just said it sounds like the bardos. But what's interesting is we're hearing new aspects. It can go on forever. And then you may not get the gap. That's incredible because most of you go through the bardos and then you end up in the heaven or someplace, right? Or you reincarnate is the Buddhist view.
Well, you can't create once you leave the physical body, so you end up stuck with whatever it is you did create.
You're talking about Buddhism?
No, I'm talking about Ion. It seems to me that if you can't create once you've died, but you're stuck in this judgment place, then you're going to be stuck there forever because you can't undo your judgments because you can't create.
I know. Here's an important point. I don't know if you got it. It's okay if you're stuck because it's blissful. You are in bliss as soon as you get to that point. You're floating over your body.
Yeah, but you're not in the guffs. And he says he says it does make a difference.
Yeah, it does make a difference, but it's still pretty good in the. It's pretty blissful in the floating eternal part.
Yeah, but if you know you haven't gone all the way and you're stuck in eternity, eternally stuck, that can be a drag.
I know. I got you. Try to stop. I get your sentence as much as you said. Don't keep going, so I can get it back in there, and then you can respond. Make it faster. He says recently, and I said it before, that you don't have a thinking process about judging yourself once you're floating.
Mm-hmm.
It feels good.
Yeah.
You don't, and so you aren't judging yourself, but then you're not thinking the way you would think you would be thinking. You say, oh, shit, man, I'm stuck here. You don't feel that. It feels good. But there does enter some kind of thinking process when you start to judge yourself. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know what that is.
That was the Egyptian thing. The whole Egyptian thing was that when you die, your heart is weighed on a scale relative to a feather. And if your heart is heavier than the feather, you're fucked.
And you most likely would be heavier than a feather, right?
Yeah. Unless you... See, there's this guy that wrote this book called The Disappearance of the Universe, and he says that these two ascended masters show up in his living room from time to time. They just manifest out of the ethers. And they talk to him about ascension, the process of ascension, and how it is that most people actually, I think, well, I don't know what they say, but I have the impression that most people don't get stuck in the judgment phase and therefore are unable to actually ascend all the way to the guff. Because...
He said, this guy says that.
Well, that's what I get out of it. I don't know what he says.
Yeah, now that you've heard Guff, I mean, heard Ion, you're projecting it back in terms.
Well, he just calls it God's kingdom. You know, he says you ascend to God's kingdom unless you have these thoughts about yourself, these karmic thoughts about yourself that you get hung up in, which would be the judgment, in which case that would. But now his point of view is that would draw you back down into another incarnation. Ion says that there is, you don't get drawn back.
He says
you can possess another spirit, you can possess another body.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You can possess and walk in. I just find that there's all these different traditions, and it's all muddled in symbolism and the cultural limitations of those previous eras. Mm-hmm. And Ion is coming through to retell us what's been told us, but clearing it all up and bringing things that got lost in the translation. That's what I think is incredible.
Right.
I mean, you heard stuff that you never heard. I mean, the idea that people can go back in and possess people and all that. Or,
well, I haven't heard anything that I haven't heard from somebody in some sliver or another.
Yeah, one fragment here, one fragment there.
Yeah.
Ion's putting it all together.
Yeah.
Right? Can you admit that?
I guess, yeah. I mean, I would be all for the idea that everybody ends up back at the Guff, but I don't like the idea of getting stuck in some eternal space in between here and there and not being able to either reincarnate or make it or resolve yourself back into the Guff.
Well, that's why I want people to hear this stuff like you, and then you have a reading and pursue these issues.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning, man. We're just starting day one in the school with Ion.
Yeah.
And it wants to hear all these questions and things, you know?
Right.
And maybe by talking to you, I'll think up some things and ask them based on what you're saying, you know?
Right. But
definitely, we're open for dialogue here at Dobbstown and Ion Town, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's what we should be doing.
Right.
I mean, the point is Ion is bringing in new aspects that no one's heard before, and we have it here to talk to it about.
Yeah.
Not a priest who's saying, oh, well, this is the way it is, Bob, and the book says that, and we don't change the book. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ion said, doesn't he say in one of those, he said it to me at some point, he says, Bob, we told you, yes, you go to the Guff, but we didn't tell you this stuff until you were ready for it, you know?
Yeah, which implies that there's more to the story that we haven't heard yet.
There's a lot. Ion is telling Bob, you haven't heard nothing yet. He said that.
Yeah.
And he said, what is it? There was another. He said about a month or two ago. He said, "Now, Bob, we're now going to say some things that contradict what we've said for 6 months."
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm the perfect person to receive this, because I know that's the way reality is. I know it's always changing. You know, if you tell that to an average Joe, he says, "Ah, fuck yeah, you're lying. You changed your view." You know, I'm not going to respond that way. So it's perfect to work through this stuff with me. I got the kind of mind that, oh, that's great. I know what you mean. I've done it myself. You have to say all this stuff so people can get that idea. Then you make it more subtle and cancel out and qualify what you said.
Right.
That's what dialogue is. That's co-creating through dialogue.
Right.
McLuhan even says that in one of his early explorations articles. He says, we're having this dialogue, and we leave room for self-correction.
Yeah.
Because you're always creating confusion by the words and concepts that people think you're saying.
Whatever belief systems we have are bridges to get us to the next belief system so that we can undo the last belief system.
Yeah, which, don't limit it to belief system. That's a concept. The very process of talking, and this is what leads to a medium message, you create a metaphor and an understanding, not a belief system, an understanding based on a conversation of 15 minutes, and the actual reality is different from that. So you're being hypnotized by what you think you're understanding when you're talking to somebody for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Don't make it a play. It's the process of perception. You're always being numb by what you're engaging in and missing the cancelization that everything is in two places at once.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, that was the doubleness entered into your conversation with him a little bit there, too.
He talks about the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the important triad or trinity, but he also, I notice, every now and then brings in the dualism. There's another level of dualism in there, and I can't say right now what it is. I'm still getting him to define that. He'll say, there's the dualism, but it's within the trinity.
Yeah.
I think the dualism, there's a physical dualism, because there's two of everything. There's two yous, two worlds, two of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then he later said, "But then, Bob, we got you to get that. Now we're going to tell you that there's way more than two. There's actually infinity of everything." Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, that idea has just been around from quantum physics.
Right, that's
physics. Well, no, quantum physics. You know, the quantum physics says that, you know, every possible move that you could possibly make, you're making right now in all different directions.
Right,
and you're just aware of a particular, you're just aware.
Let me respond to what you said. The flash forward goes into what, it's called the many worlds theory.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever watch flash forward, you probably don't, right?
No.
Well, it's a good one to watch, and they're up to about 10 or 11 shows, but the last show, they bring up the many worlds thing, like in Fringe, and he names the guy, Hugh Evers, who coined the theory back in the 50s or something. I've investigated him through Ion, and he was a riff writer.
Mm.
These guys come up with these theories and present in academia, but they've had it based on personal experiences.
Yeah.
So, yes, there's many dimensions, but here's the point, is that we've got fragments of all kinds of things. Ion is not replaying the fragments. Ion is clarifying it and saying in that whole unique thing, Carolyn's reading the new Dan Brown book, they go into the dualism and miss the Trinity. The role of the mind. It's not a divine mind. The mind is one-third, the labyrinth of the mind, you know? And
right.
That's a new thing. Then what do you do when you have two of everything on top of that? Ion said we got two bodies, two souls, and two minds.
Hmm.
You, Scott, have two souls, two minds.
And they're, are they
they're
positive, negative reflections of one another? Like if one is positive,
no,
is the other
negative?
Negative?
No, no judgment. You don't do positive, negative. No, there's nothing wrong with anything, Ion says. There's no positive.
Well, if negative. One's experiencing pleasure, is the other experiencing pain?
No, the other one's experiencing pleasure.
Mm.
It's the same of what you're doing.
Mm.
It's a replica.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
So the point is, we got lots more to work with here.
Yeah.
Which is good. That's what Ion should be doing. It should be bringing in a new level of question, bringing up new questions. It says, its slogan, its motto is, answers will be questioned. And
yeah.
That includes his answers.
Yeah. Well, I have an immediate concern, which is that I found out today that my company's been sold. And I'm probably going to be out of a job within the next 6 months, so I don't know how that's going to work itself out. I have negative fantasies, fears, and concerns that I'm going to be, you know,
homeless and everything.
Yeah, and end up dropping out and not being able to, not really participating with whatever it is you guys are doing. On the one hand, on the other hand, there's the possibility that, you know, there's the possibility that I could end up with a better paying job and have more money to work with, and that would be better. But I don't know how things are going to work out at this time. Obviously, you know, and because of that, I'm feeling rather disturbed or upset about how things
people,
will work.
Everybody's, this is happening to everybody.
Yeah.
You'll be on the street running a revolution or something in
yeah.
8 months. But this is, you got to expect disruption. It's happening. It's going to happen all the time now.
Yeah.
So the but I like Ion's appreciate what you have now. Appreciate enjoying the experience. And remember, when you die, it'll be great. You know.
I hope so. I mean, if I do get a chance to speak with Ion. Personally, I don't know that even talking with him would clear it up for me, because the only way I'll ever know is when I know for myself for sure. Even if he tells me the truth and I believe it, that's not the same thing as knowing what actually happened.
But Ion will give you ways to clear up the assumptions that are blocking you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And,
well,
you know, you have images of what you think the future is, or time, or how you're going to get there to 6 months, and what you should do. Ion is always changing those images. It's like Ion says, you don't get the rules that you have in your mind, you don't get rid of them, but you can alter them, shift them, add to them.
Right.
That's the, quote, expansion, or getting it balanced.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Ion's ready. He does pretty good stuff on his client readings, you know. I hear it.
Right. Yeah.
But anyways, Ion says we hope to get you to the position that you can say to us, "Fuck you, Ion. I'm going to do what I want." Ion is trying to get you to that point. But You can't do it in a stupid sense. You got to have gone through it and figured out what he meant, and then say, "Yeah, that doesn't apply to me." You know what I mean?
Yeah, he respects whatever your independence or whatever.
Yeah. And he's all for it. Create your own universe. So Ben wouldn't explore it.
Yeah, well, Ben, you know, often Ion says, well, you can't get there from here.
Yeah.
So from where Ben is, he can't get to where, you know, channeling is
which is okay, but I'm just using Ben as an example.
Yeah.
It's hard for them to explore.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say about me, well, Bob's fucked up because he can't not explore. Try to get Bob away from not exploring, he'd be fucked.
Right.
You could say I'm addicted to exploring, because that's what I've been doing constantly for so many decades, right?
Right.
What would happen if I couldn't explore? So that might be my flaw.
Yeah. Well, I could find myself in 6 months in some stupid job where I can't explore anything because I'm too busy dealing with some asshole boss in a shitty circumstance or whatever that I got to deal with every day in order to earn a living. I hope that doesn't happen, but I don't know anymore.
Well, I think I would say it's maybe hard to do, but say imagine what you demand what you want, think about what you want, and then forget about it.
Yeah.
And sort.
Well, see, that's the problem. See, over the past few weeks, I've been resisting the idea that my job might come to an end, even though there was no actual indications that was going to happen. But it was something that I started resisting, and then it happened. So then I said, well, my God, did I create this because I was resisting it, or was I just intuitively picking up on the fact that this was happening and I didn't like it, so I resisted
it?
Right. I don't know. I would say
definitely say no. You created it because it's only your universe that experienced it. Other people might have different responses to hearing about the company, different from yours. So their universes would interpret it differently.
Well, yeah,
depending on
what they have, what resources they have to fall back on. Sure.
Or other stuff. They might say, "Shit, I got a nice job and I got a family, but I'm sick and tired of it. Now I've got an excuse. I can fucking go on the road and become a hobo or something." You know what I mean?
I don't think anybody that's ever had a decent job likes the idea of becoming a hobo.
No, you'd be surprised. A lot of people don't like their successful situation. There's too much.
Oh, I understand that, but it's better than dragging your ass around on a cold street.
No, Ion says you would be surprised at what people find interesting.
Mm.
They want to have change, mix it up.
Yeah.
And they might say, "No, I want this job," but they actually do. You may want to be without a job deep down.
Well, there's part of me that's been feeling like I've satisfied the requirements of this job and I'm outgrowing it and I probably need to move on. But it's not a good timing given the facts of the economy and the...
Yeah, but the economy's not falling. Look, 80% of the population is working.
Yeah, I know that means 20%. That means I got to deal with 20% of younger people with, you know, bachelor's degrees and higher educations that I got to compete for the same jobs.
Well, start your own movement. Get together with people your age. There's going to be lots of them that are looking for new ways to form their economic life.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Don't try to fit yourself into something. Think of finding what other people have the same problem and co-create with them.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of creativity. Invent stuff.
Yeah.
You might think, "Nah, I can't do it." Well.
Well, you know, one of the first things that Ion said to me when I talked to him on the phone, which kind of pissed me off a little bit, was he says, "Well, just go, you know, start your own business." I thought, "Fuck you." That's like telling a homeless guy who's asking for a buck, you know, "Go get a job, you bum."
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't know how to do it, or he wouldn't be asking for a buck on the street.
Right, but Ion's saying that you're a God, and you can create your own universe, and you're not thinking of yourself that way. Well, we're going to encourage you that you do it. Start thinking of creating your own business.
Yeah.
I mean, that would piss you off, because it's shocking, but look, you've been around this stuff enough, this self-inflation, you know, new age attitudes, platitudes, and all that. Well, start applying it.
Yeah.
Because that's what it means, God.
Yeah. Well, I may have to.
Don't regard it as a have to. Enjoy it. Hey, great. I got this opportunity.
Well, it's hard to enjoy if you can't, if you have rent and various bills to pay, and you can't pay those bills. You know, it's hard to face the landlord and all the rest of it. And not to mention to which, they may grant you some grace and say, well, look, you can still stay here, but I'm putting it on your tab, which means when you do get your fucking $10 an hour job, you're going to owe me $50,000 because you've fucking been living off me for 6 months while you look for a job.
You know, you're thinking up a lot of negative scenarios.
Well, that's true.
And all this negativity is going to happen anyways, and these guys may... They are letting people stay in houses who can't pay because the banks don't have any money themselves.
Yeah. I understand that. I understand that in some cases where a person's savvy enough to fight for their place and, you know, work something out, negotiate something. But the thing is that you end up deeper in debt. Well, you can stay in your house, but we're compounding the fucking interest on the goddamn thing. So when you do get a job, you'll be so fucking deep in debt. This is the cry that James
is over now. People, they are canceling everybody's debts. Now there's other idiots running around trying to make you believe there's debt.
Yeah.
But they're doing desperate things. Carolyn got a letter from the New York State saying, according to our records, in 2006 you didn't pay $784 tax.
Mm.
And she thought, well, I paid it. What's going on is, and James has lots of information on this. They're ransacking this shit and faking it. They're sending these bills to everybody and see who falls for it because the New York State doesn't have any money.
Yeah.
They're getting really desperate.
Yeah.
See, there's chaos going on, man, now. And so, breakthrough time.
Well, I heard James's show where he was on and talking about his relationship with Board.
Oh, that's great. Did I send that to you?
Yeah, you sent a link,
to the interview with those people. Now, you want
to... Yeah, now, James, you don't seem to be involved in James's illusions, if you want to call it that, but James doesn't consider them illusions. He talks about the richcraft, the soulless people who control the world's resources and who really don't give a fuck about people and are willing to create horrendous circumstances, pimping people to their own benefits and so on, and mind control and all the rest of it. Now, James, I was surprised to hear how committed he is to the belief that all of that Walter Boart stuff is true, given the fact that he knows you, and you don't seem to give it any credence.
I don't, and there's a lot of discussion between me and James behind the scenes with that about that interview.
Mm-hmm.
He told me he was going to do it, and then he did it, and then I listened to it, and we were talking a lot today about it. That is not all that he's going to say. He wants to destroy the image people have of Walter Boart, like that couple had. He's our hero, you know?
Mm.
And so James will be invited to a major conference by them. There's one coming up, but it's too local. He wants to go to a major one. He wants me to come, and he wants us to nail them all and point out how this whole thing is crap, is nothing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so James is aware of my stuff, but as Terry says, he finds it hilarious. He listens to James talking to me and agreeing with me, and then the next day on Thursday, he goes back to his opposite to Bob's self. You know what I mean?
Who's Terry?
He's that L.A. guy I was telling Scott about.
Oh, okay.
Before we taped.
He sounds like a whack, not a whack job, but he sounds like he's awful critical of everybody.
That's right. Yeah, he is.
He's terribly opinionated, and everybody's an asshole,
Yeah. That's the way he is, but he's a successful Hollywood guy, and they get like that, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's very interesting working with him.
Yeah.
Or working and being a doctor for him while he mouths off, you know?
Right.
But I'm just saying that he noticed, and he's right, and I know this, James just goes along with me on Wednesday, but he's a different James on Thursday.
Right.
He's got to get back into the panic and get clients.
That's right, yeah.
Now, James knows he's different, and we discuss it, and this Walter thing is just beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to send you a link to that couple. You get to see them, a video, and you can watch this Bill Deagle guy. who comes from Nova Scotia, and he's had Carol on the show. Carol had no idea this guy had these kind of thoughts, because he was just an alternative doctor, she thought.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the leading edge of this nut world that those people interviewing James are part of. But you got to hear, remember I said he's a Dan Winter? That was pretty nutty. Now listen to this guy. and put up with, you may say, this is sick, I can't take it, fuck it. Listen to it all, because it'll even get better and crazier.
Mm-hmm.
And so I played it, I played the phone interview with this Bill Deagle. I'm not, you can listen to that, but I'm going to send you the video so you can look at him. I think it's in his own home, in the L.A. area, I think. I don't know if he's a landed thing, or Canadian, or American, or what. But I played the audio telephone interview they did with him to Ion, and we went through it, and Ion, you know, critiqued it, what he was saying. But JW came out of it and almost died. He says, "What the fuck was that, Bob? It's like a kick in the guts. What an ignoramus. You know, what the hell is that?" I said, "Look, this is a meme. There's a meme of aliens taking over and all that that's out there, and these kind of people are going to come to us and ask Ion questions because they're into mediumship. Just telling you, just wanted Ion to know, well, Ion knew, but I just wanted JW to know, this is what we're going to be, this is part of the world we appear to be part of."
Mm-hmm.
So the latest guy is Bill Deagle.
Hmm.
He's so qualified, he can critique David Icke and all this. Now, Scott would say, David Icke, he's a fucking nut. Well, not in their world. He's certain status, and then Bill comes along and corrects David Icke within their assumptions.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's interesting. And this is the couple that did James.
That did James?
Well, interviewed him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They were pretty... They seemed like they were... they seem like they were, professional in terms of their investigative capacity.
No, they didn't do any investigation. They didn't do anything.
The way that the woman posed questions, she was articulate. She was clear about what she wanted to know or what she didn't understand. She posed questions like a journalist. They seem semi-professional.
Well, they aren't. They're amateurs and they're biased people. But the James told me, he said, "Okay, I did the interview with Bob. Now listen to it. You will hear her. I shook up her world, but it's very subtle. You can hear it in the way she keeps trying to. See, if you listen closely, she keeps trying to say what James is saying and fit it back into something that James isn't saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way she is. And I mean, they have their little website and interview these people, and they got their assumptions. And you can hear a lot of them when they interview Bill Deagle.
Oh.
Like Bill Deagle saying these ridiculous things, and they're going, "Yeah, we know that. Yeah, we understand that. We believe that. We know that. Our crowd, our audience knows that." You just experience it, Scott. You're
right. Hearing
people going nuts. We're under the Android, post-Android meme conditions.
Right. So would Ion give some credibility to, like, the Sitchin material, or does he think it's all crazy?
Pretty well crazy. It's wrong.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Here's what Ion says, a critique of Einstein, Dan Winter, Nassim Haramein, anybody, Jack Trafatti. They work with the concept of time.
Mm-hmm.
So Adam, now, the Hindus might say, "Well, it's all Maya." I don't think Ion means that, but Ion is adamant, and he's been drilling at me for, you know, 7 months or whatever. There is no time, Bob. And he's saying they're proving it over in Cambridge and at CERN. Stephen Hawking, these guys are saying, "Uh-oh, we've got proof of it."
Yeah.
So anyways, and they got proof of there's two of everything. So what's really interesting is Ion's not saying this, I know, from a metaphysical fucking utopian ideal or image of something.
Right.
He knows what scientists are doing, and they're finding it really hard to fucking reconcile, because all our talk is about the space-time continuum.
Yeah, which Einstein showed that time was relative, which is a step towards erasing time.
If you say that we're timeless, wrong, because you're relating it within the context of time and saying you're bouncing off it. Okay, it's time, but no, we're timeless. No, there's not even timelessness.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting.
Well, I arrived at that conclusion through just reductionism. But I a long time ago intellectually arrived at the discovery that that time is that there is a time that transcending the illusion of phenomena, or transcending the appearance of phenomena, or the experience of phenomena, is the timeless zone. I don't think that's a new concept.
No, that's not what it is. See, you said timeless. There's no timeless zone.
Well, it's because I got to use words when I talk to you.
No. Here's a better word. This is what Ian will say, and he said it on James' show occasionally. There is not time, but there's timing.
Timing.
Mm. Yeah. And I got a deeper understanding of that. I'm not going to... I'm still figuring out how Ion means this, but I've had some pretty good epiphanies over the last few months about what he's getting at.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I have the intuition of what you mean by that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there is the appearance of things coming together, but in terms of being able to measure that in terms of time is subjective. And you're, and a person's, one person's subjectivity could be that a day is 1,000 years, and another person's subjectivity is that a day is a day.
Yeah. So I argue with Ian about, are you talking about the effect of writing and visual space in the printing press? Partly, but not totally. They don't limit it to the McLuhan explanation.
Yeah. Well, it must be a function of the brain and nervous system or something.
No.
People have always been aware of time even before we had clocks, because they were aware of the sun coming up and the length of the day.
Yeah, but that's a limited view of time. To look at the world you're in as a space-time, or Ion will sort of accept the word spanse. It's a spanse, but it ain't at all like cultures have said it is. There aren't even cycles. But we prefer cycles, because, you know, we're not transcended, or whatever you want to call it. So within normal consciousness, we prefer cycles. And I don't say cycles is better than linear time, but there are no cycles either.
Yeah. Well, Jose Arguelles wanted to get us onto the lunar calendar as opposed to the solar calendar, because it was more involved with the cycles.
Right, but Ion's talking past the cycles. That's what's new here.
Yeah, but that's great if he knows that, and it's great if he can tell us about that, but it's not so great if we can't actually grok it in any meaningful and practical way.
Well, Ion...
I mean, I got a meeting tomorrow morning, because I got to find out what the fuck's going on with my company. My boss said that I ought... She very strongly suggested that I'm there at 8:30.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got to deal with time, because it's related.
Well, that's arguing. I don't say arguing for your limitations, where you're at. Of course, you
well,
deal with time. That's where you're at.
Yeah, Lazarus used that same phrase. If you argue for your limitations, they become yours.
Yeah, I have heard of that before. So the what do we? There was a point I want to make. So you're talking about the time. Okay, so just before you brought up your boss, we were saying spans, time cycles, events. There's a lot more to go into there. I mean, that's what's really been great, is to have access. Oh, yeah, this is it. So we got the 7 levels of what you do when you die.
Yeah.
But remember, Ion's saying you don't need even do that.
Well, he said it's you could conceive it as one big step, but it has 7 degrees.
No, Ion is saying that the guff is here to evaporate.
Well, it's here. It's always evaluation of the circumstance. See, I'd come to the conclusion some time ago that we're in eternity now, because where else could eternity be? And I know that eternity is foundational, but it's still not part of my psychological experience. It's part of my intuitive belief, or part of my reductionist reasoning. I mean, I know that it must be so, but I don't know. I don't live it.
Yeah, Ion says the solution to everything is 3-2-1 it. do not take any action.
Right.
And figure out what you want to do with yourself right now to the fast path of your joy.
Right.
But that is its, like, headline, and it takes thousands of hours of talking to figure out, really get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I like about Ion. He's not telling you to do anything. He says, the less you do, the better. But remember, you can create and go towards what you want to be good with.
You know, I mean, if I don't do anything, I don't think a job's going to, I mean, a job could potentially show up, but I sort of feel like I got to make an effort. I got to put my resume together.
That doesn't mean
I got to email it out to people.
Yeah, but see, you're interpreting the words, don't do anything, take no action, as literally.
Yeah.
There may be other subtle ways to understand that.
Right.
It's like, don't think that you're doing an action because you need to do an action. You can go and walk and do what you want to do, but don't think it's an action leading to somewhere. It's something like that.
Yeah.
So
he was saying, you know, he's saying, well, what do? You just look and see what it is you want to be doing right now.
Yeah.
Well, I've been doing that over the last few weeks. I've been getting absorbed in various computer technologies that I feel could enhance my resume over the next year or so if I, you know, spend time with it. Now all of a sudden I'm finding out that that plan is shot because I got.
You were going to take courses, you mean?
Yeah, you know, and it was going to take some time to complete them, but I figured that they would enhance my confidence, knowledge of the technology, and my resume, and so on. But now, all of a sudden, without any conscious desire or will on my part, I'm being thrown into more of an emergency situation where I have to fall back on what it is I already know, and I can't. Whatever.
Who knows? Maybe you'll get out of the computer field.
Yeah, hopefully not for some minimum wage job bagging groceries or something.
Yeah, most people, Ion says a lot of people, it's too much for people what's going on, and they're going, I'll check out.
Yeah.
Fast the path of joy is to go blissful, which they subconsciously know. Go blissful by dying, you know, transitioning.
Yeah. Well, at this point, my body's too healthy for me to consider just checking out in order to resolve my problems.
Yeah.
But, I'm not entirely opposed to the idea, although I don't like the idea of getting stuck in some stupid bardo for all of eternity, which I may be in right now. Who knows?
Yeah, the thing is, I wouldn't take the concepts of what I think of what I'm not stuck in my bardo.
Yeah, I know, but you're not. But you're unique. But you know, he says that these people that don't make it to the guff didn't make it to the guff because they didn't. They didn't create a clear channel while they were creating, while they were in the body creating.
Okay,
they didn't create a clear channel through to the guff.
Yeah, but I'd say, if I were you, I'd say that objection to Ion, and I bet you, I don't know, but I would say, Ion, say, you're making too much out of this, Scott.
Yeah.
There's no problem when you're dead. You're in eternity. It's not a big deal that you failed the judgment or whatever, or make the judgment positive. It's up to you.
Right.
So it's a constant exercise. You can do, be, have, think anything you want, Scott. So don't dwell on the negative things about, oh, shit, man, I'm going to be stuck in a bar. You've actually gotten the wrong message from Ion.
Zara's used a metaphor, something to the effect, I don't remember it exactly, but he says, you know, imagine you're throwing dice and you have to hit a 7, and you hit something else. Well, you just fucking take the one dice and, like, just tip it over, and then you have the 7.
He says, yeah, cheat and go loud.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, Mark Free learned from his studies of the BOTA. I mean, ten years ago, he said to me that is something similar to what Ion was, you know, when you die, if you get stuck anywhere, you're judging yourself. There's nobody there judging you. It's you judging yourself. And this, the Egyptians,
that would
apparently
be your rules of your mind, but you don't have a mind when you're dead, so it's a different kind of rule judgment.
Mm. Yeah, well then, then you're just gonna, you see, that's another slightly disturbing thing. He said that there's this you find yourself in this position where you're disconnected from the Trinity.
Yeah, oh, so, that's what people do here all the time.
Yeah.
Disconnect from non-physical.
Right.
They get back to non-physical. It doesn't matter they do that because they get back when they transition.
But I think he said in the recently deceased, when you're in the recently deceased
in the eternity zone, you disconnect yourself.
No, well, in the recently deceased, which is just prior to the eternity zone, you're disconnected from the triad. So you're just disconnected. You're
the recently deceased is your term when you're still alive, but you're rotting away.
Yeah, and you may be comatose or not, but you're half by half by half.
I wouldn't call that deceased because you haven't died yet. It's when you leave your body but have not decided that they might say recently deceased.
Right, but you may not. If you've been in a coma for 6 weeks, you don't even know what the hell's going on.
That's right. So but you might be floating over your body.
Maybe.
That's when you're floating.
Some people remember that, and some people, see, that's the interesting thing about the people who die, which is happening more and more all the time because of technology's ability, medicine's ability to revive people.
Yeah.
But, you know, only 2 out of 10 people remember the floating and the tunnel and all the rest of it. All the rest of them go, fuck, I was just gone, man. I don't know. I was just gone.
Yeah, well, so, that's the way they are. They're marvelous creators. They make themselves not remembered.
Yeah. Well, it makes me wonder, some people maybe don't have a soul or something. I don't know.
Nah. We don't have souls. We just have bliss when we die. We go into the floating non-physical.
Yeah.
We call it a soul.
Yeah. Well, there's still the question of what is the source of the I, of, you know, see, I experience that I am, and you experience that I am in your own way, and you know that to be true, and I know that to be true, but we don't experience I am to be the same I am, although all the occult, all the spiritual literature says that it ultimately is the same I am, but we don't experience it that way.
That's right. Perfect words, Scott. Perfect words. We have one thing that's been added to Dobbstown is that phrase.
Right.
Ion has contributed to the lingo.
Right.
At the right time, you go, perfect words, and everybody
I know. You're the perfect creator making up perfect words for a perfectly ridiculous thing that you're thinking about.
Yeah.
No. All right.
So
we don't know if we're doing next week, I guess. It sounds like
yeah, we won't
not.
Be doing Monday.
Okay.
So we might not be doing next week.
All right.
Yeah, because you can only do Monday, right?
Next week, yeah.
Or no, you can't do the 14th. Or you can do the 14th. What
is
it?
The 14th?
You can do the 14th.
What is the 14th? Is that a Sunday or a Monday?
That's Monday.
Yeah, I can.
You can do the 14th, but I can't because I'm doing a public thing with Jerry, I think. Some Skype thing or something.
Oh, okay.
And that would be around 6 o'clock or something.
Right.
Maybe 5. Oh, yeah, what? Yeah, that's the same. Yeah, it's the same time. Mm. So I'm not doing Monday. And if we can't do Sunday, then we won't do it.
Okay.
It's not. I was happy with the way that whole Dylan thing happened. That was really neat.
Yeah, it was. And you know, he had the quote. He remembered it. He had the quote handy.
He must have Googled it, or right there in his own archive, and it came up. It was Dylan archive, and he just clicked on Dylan interview.
That wasn't, as far as you know, that wasn't part of his notes for this evening.
Oh no! I jumped the ship. I'm going to astound you. I'm going to recall a very obscure thing that no one probably has ever commented on.
Right.
And so I stated it, and then he found it. That was a glorious thing, and proved that I was right, there was such a thing.
Right.
And then we were able to think about it, and I'd like to go more into that. That's a great, it's like a Meltzer quote. It's something to work with.
Yeah.
What's going on with Dylan there, you know?
Well, you know, he said, I thought it was interesting, he said something about you die when you clip your fingernails.
You die, yeah, when you cut your fingernails or cut your hair.
Ion said something about clipping your fingernails one time.
Is that right?
Yeah. And he said something about, I know. He said something about, something about you remembers everything. It remembers the last time you clipped your fingernail.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know what it was. He was talking about your auric. He said somebody who can read your Curlian photography can tell you when the last time you clipped your fingernails because
right,
it's
right.
in there.
Right. But he didn't say that you died.
No.
The man didn't say that.
No.
No, Ron, I forgot that interview. They get into a pretty interesting interchange there, the part that we were reading.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to going back and listening to it. I was half listening to it and half distracted tonight,
yeah.
but I'll listen to it later.
Yeah, you're distracted by your...
See, that's another thing. See, this whole changing job, even if I get a job, even if I end up with a more desirable job, it's just upsetting to my whole life. Because the way my job is set up right now, it's... You know, I track you. You know, I listen to the cash flow and the different shows
right.
and stuff. Because I have time, I can listen to it while I'm doing my job, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
I don't have most jobs don't afford that luxury.
No. Yeah, you may not be able to keep up.
I don't know what the future's gonna have.
But that's why you couldn't focus now. You were distracted by that issue.
Yeah, in part. Yeah.
No, that's natural.
Yeah.
It's a shock to the system, but that's it. Shock to the system.
Yeah.
Okay, so what... what did you think of... Well, you were too distracted. I won't ask your opinion of what was said tonight because you were distracted. Maybe later.
I'll tell you next week after I've heard it.
Yeah, because the earlier part was interesting when I was describing how we live, you know?
Yeah, and it was a nice preamble, too. You guys talked for, a good 40 minutes before we even got started, or 30 minutes.
Oh, you mean before we taped?
Yeah.
I think we talked for over an hour.
Yeah.
Hour and 20 minutes,
yeah.
at least.
Yeah,
But that was a good talk. He needed that, because he wasn't sure where he was.
Right.
I heard him say that to you when I was doing some other stuff, and he said he didn't know, he hadn't prepared, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
We went perfect.
Yeah. Oh, my screensaver, I have images on my screensaver, and I just saw the picture of Doug Carr. I don't know if you'll ever end up cycling back around to whatever happened there, but that sure was interesting.
Yeah, we'll call him soon. No, you see a picture of him?
Yeah. I downloaded a picture from his website, and it went into my screensaver, which rotates. I have a screensaver, it just keeps rotating images that I've put in there, and I just saw his image come up.
Is it the image of his website or a picture of him?
No, a picture of him that came, that I downloaded from his website. He's looking through the lens of a camera that has film in it, not video, but film. And he had that posted on his website, but it just reminded me of that whole...
Yeah, because that was a spooky one for you. That's
well, it was...
And I've been thinking about it since then. Look, fringe turned out to be very important in the ION experience.
Yeah.
He resonated... That's
and the, and the Boward. That was triggered by Boward, the whole fringe thing. Walter.
Yeah, you could probably say that. Yep.
Walter's the main guy who looks like you.
Walter. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, and you saw Walter and saw it around the time you saw the first fringe, told me about it. Then we got the Doug Carr part.
Yeah, because at the end of Fringe, there was something called Human Scale Productions.
Yeah.
I looked it up, and it didn't have anything to do with Doug Carr, but when I looked up Human Scale Productions, it brought up Doug Carr's website.
Right.
Yep. And you had been having conversations with Robert Carr, and
LSD,
and he had Bob Dobbs on as a subject of a short film he just made.
Yeah, so I'm looking up Dobbstown, Doug Carr.
And I don't think he ever fully grokked the significance of what it was to meet you on the phone.
I know, and that was 1st of June. That was June.
Mm-hmm.
And wait a minute, June 09? Wait a minute. Is this date right?
Was that June?
You got 01, 06, 09. It has to be, it's not January. Wait a minute, when did, Fringe started in 08. Maybe it was January. Did we? I guess. All right. It was later. We interviewed him in January, about a year later. It's almost a year now.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was that long ago. But we discovered it a few months before. It took a while before we got him, I think.
Right.
You were looking at Fringe when it was on in September. It started September 9th or so, in 08. And you watched a few, and then eventually, as a matter of fact, I can go to, let's look at your inventory, Scott Norris. Did I save it all? Trash, we go up to, I think I deleted a lot of your old ones. Because that one you sent in the last fall saying, what the fuck is going on? You know, that's when you...
I remember.
Jeez, I've deleted... I did clean up. I did too many emails. So I deleted all those, so I don't have to dig. But it was in the fall, because we got you looking at the third and fourth Fringe, and then I don't know if you kept doing it. But
I pretty much saw the first season.
Right, so we're looking at it in the fall, which we're looking at September, October, because you watched it as soon as it started, because she got you to watch the repeat, and that's when you would have seen Human Scale in one of those first shows.
Right.
And it started, I think, September 9th. So we know it within a month, and that's 5 months before Ion shows up.
Yeah.
And then this Walter metaphor, you know, and then I start looking at Fringe in May when it gets into the parallel world stuff in the last two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, shit, that's what we're talking about. So, yeah, you finding that was leading to Ion, because the Walter character is a combination of me and JW.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. And Olivia is Carolyn. It's very interesting to see how Walt, you don't know JW yet, but I know him.
Right.
And a lot of aspects of the Walter is in JW in a certain way. It's pretty weird. So when you found that show, it actually predicted what was coming in some levels.
Hmm.
But we didn't know that.
And it was holiopathic condensation from some channeled person.
Yeah, yeah.
From J.J. Abrams' channel.
Yeah. So, maybe that's...
Did you ever ask Ion about the J.J. Abrams' channel, or who he is?
Oh, yeah,
or what
I got a lot on that stuff.
Yeah.
And some of it...
You ask him about other mediums?
Yeah. I ask about everything.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But I was just going to say, maybe Doug Carr is worth talking to... And tell him about how it led into Ion, and do some more synchronicity on him.
Yeah, I mean, to contact him out of the blue and try to describe all that would be, well, you could do it, but not anybody could.
Right. I can call him and see how he. I think he won an award for that movie. He got a little recognition.
Yeah, he was showing it right around the time that we talked to him.
It was Sundance, and January is in Sundance.
Mm-hmm.
And Sundance is in January, right?
Yeah,
that was it. It was a few days before, but I think he got noticed. I don't know. I saw something.
It was short, then it would have been easy to overlook if you didn't get the subtlety of it. But if you understood. You know, if you talk to him a little bit and you get an idea of what it's about, then it becomes, it became more interesting, you know, kind of profound little film.
But I think I saw that little 10-minute thing, he actually got an award. So, let's see, I'm going to his wiki thing, and do they give us a website at the bottom, interview, LinkedIn, how do we find special jury recognition, August 10th? So, okay, Aspen Short Fest 2009,
mm-hmm.
So a few months later,
mm-hmm.
he got acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
Special jury recognition award for that movie, 10 for Grandpa.
Cool.
So... No Sundance Award, but he got that.
Yeah.
It's listed here. I don't know if he keeps updating. He probably updates this. It looks pretty accurate. Somebody's updating it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we're up to date, right?
Yeah.
That's been covered?
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I may not get tonight's talk up until tomorrow because I got to go do some stuff and get some sleep.
That's all right.
But it'll be up tomorrow.
Yeah, and it won't take so long because it's only 40 minutes, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, great, Scott. So enjoy the present.
I'll do my best.
And practice creating.
Yeah, I'm always creating, whether I like it or not. How can I help it?
Yeah, so start to direct it by taking no action.
Right.
Okay, talk to you later.
Okay, Bob, talk to you later.
Bye.